I mentioned a great matchup, Tennessee v. Creighton. We had Rick Barnes on earlier. So equal time to the head basketball coach at Creighton. He is in his 11th season there. He led Creighton in 9 straight 21 years, as well as 9 straight NCAA appearances. With an Elite 8 appearance last year, he won the 2020 Big East regular title, and he was the 2020 Big East Coach of the Year as well. The Blue Jays, 25-9 overall, 14-6 in Big East play, and they are the 3 seed in the Midwest. They take on number 2, Tennessee, in the Sweet 16 Friday in Detroit. Of course, I'm joined once again by Greg McDermott. Greg, it's great to have you back. Thank you very much. How are you?
Thank you, Jim. It's been 14 years at Creighton. And,
I knew it. I was looking at my notes.
I didn't get to listen to the portion with Coach Barnes. I hope he shared some secrets with you that you can share with me.
Yeah, first of all, sorry about the 14 years. I looked at my notes. They got butchered. He did not share secrets, but he had immense respect for you and your team. So know that. So you're back in familiar territory, Sweet 16. That's back-to-back years, 3 times in the last 4 years. Greg, how do you feel about this group right now? And given how hard it is to win in March, how great does it feel to be back among the Final 16?
Yeah, you know, sometimes, Jim, the hardest thing to do in sports is what you're expected to do. And, you know, we had, you know, lofty preseason expectations with this group, preseason top 10. And you know, we had some ups and downs, nothing, you know, really, no really sustained droughts in our season. We lost back-to-back games only one time in early February. But this group has dealt with all of that. They've handled it with a lot of maturity. They've just absolutely been a joy to coach. And while we've had some practices that are better than others, I can honestly say we haven't had a bad practice all year. And I think that speaks to the leadership of this team with Baylor Sharp and Trey Alexander, Ryan Kalkbrenner, and then Stephen Ashworth coming in from Utah State and you know, being a positive influence from a leadership standpoint as well.
You know, I'm curious, how do you strike the balance between, for all intents and purposes, this is going to be the biggest moments of their entire lives in some cases, so you want them to enjoy it, you want them to soak it all in, but at the same time, you want them all in, and you want them prepared for the opportunities that are still ahead of them. So how do you walk that line? What is your message to them in that regard?
You know, Jim, I really let them be themselves, and, you know, some people commented after the Oregon game that as they walked onto the floor for that second overtime, they were laughing and giggling and joking. And that's just kind of been this team's, what their makeup is. They don't take themselves too seriously. They really have fun with the game of basketball. And, you know, Shireman, Alexander and Kalkbrenner, they were in that locker room last year when we lost on a last second free throw to San Diego State to go to the Final Four. And, you know, they all had opportunities to leave after last year, and they all decided to come back with this goal in mind of trying to get back to Sweet 16 and put ourselves in a position to try to get back to that moment that we had against San Diego State where we came up a little short.
Greg McDermott's joining us. So what about that win? You're in that spot by outlasting Oregon, double OT, great, great game. You were down by 4 with 30 seconds left in the regular game itself, facing elimination. Then you come back and you finish. You've been a part of some really, really big wins in your career. Where do you rank that one in terms of overall grit and tenacity for your team?
You know, I think that one was right up there because it certainly looked bleak in the last minute, and, you know, especially a team as good as Oregon. But, you know, we decided to play it out with a little over a minute left. We got to stop, and then, you know, Baylor Sharman being so heady to just attack the rim and transition and, you know, create some contact and see if we could get to the free throw line. And then we executed a press perfectly and got the ball in their worst free throw shooter's hands. And fortunately, he missed one to give us a chance to tie it. But, you know, it's right up there. You know, there was a lot of play in that game. Obviously, you're playing to go to another Sweet 16. But, you know, for our fan base, you know, who has such great respect for Coach Altman for the 16 years that he was at Creighton, you know, that even added more to it, I think, you know, for our fan base because of the respect they have for Dana and the job that he does at Oregon.
You know, he's done a great job. Greg, you've done a great job there. I'm curious, what's it like? You've been there 14 years now. You've had a lot of success. Certainly you could leave. You have not. What do you like so best about that opportunity, that school in that town?
Well, you know, Dana was here 16. I'm here 14, Jim. So I think you don't stay at one place that long unless you really like the people. And that's really what this community is about. There's so many wonderful people here. You know, there's been a lot of changes in college athletics in the you know, the last 3 years, let alone the last 30 years. But a lot of the same people have stepped up and supported us when the rules of the game have changed and NIL came into play. And, you know, we moved to the Big East, and that obviously required a bigger commitment from the university side and from a booster side. So, you know, I think Dana was really happy here. And, you know, I'm obviously very happy here. And I think that's why, you know, both of us have decided to spend so large part of our careers in Omaha.
Greg McDermott joining us. You know, you mentioned that the game has changed dramatically in the last few years and certainly over the last 30 years. Greg, what about the players? Have the players also changed dramatically from back in the day, or are they effectively the same?
You know, our guys have been the same, and that's, you know, I think things have changed. I think society has changed. I don't know that you can, you know, some of the guys that played for me at Wayne State, Northern Iowa, I think when they come and watch practice, they wonder, you know, who in the heck is this guy?
Right.
Like, this isn't the same guy that was lighting me up with that turnover. So I just think you have to kind of adjust as generations are different. You know, they're you know, social media, they don't know a life without social media. And, you know, that obviously has impacted their lives in a big way. And I think we have to be, understand that that's part of their world. But, you know, I give our guys a lot of credit. You know, I've been in this business long enough to understand that you can't recruit a selfish person and make him an unselfish basketball player. So, our programs build on selflessness, and we've purposely recruited unselfish people that love to turn a good shot into a great shot. And this group gets along so well together. They're watching them celebrate each other's success, watching them come to the aid of a teammate who makes a big mistake at a critical time has just been really, really special. And, you know, I think that cohesiveness is a big reason why we're still playing this week.
Greg McDermott joining us. Now, speaking of selflessness, two-time NBA champ Greg Mike Miller is going to be on my podcast this week. His son Mason has given you quality minutes. He scored 10 in the first-round win over Akron. How important are glue guys like Mason who are willing to do anything it takes to help your team win, especially this time of year?
Yeah, and, you know, Mason's a great example of you know, a couple of parents that understand the process. And, you know, obviously Mike's career was incredible, but Mike's wife, Jen, was also a heck of a volleyball player at Florida. And, you know, they get it. They understand it. Mason came here. His body wasn't ready. We redshirted him. He really worked hard that year. And then last year he played off the bench, sometimes more than others. But he worked and continued to grow and get better, even if he wasn't playing a lot of minutes. And he had himself prepared to be a starter this year. And he stepped up in some key moments for us throughout the season. And that game against Akron was certainly one of them. But, you know, Mike's obviously been a terrific role model for Mason. And Mason understands how hard you have to work. And Andy's got his uncle here on staff and Ryan. So he really has to be careful that he makes sure he's doing the right things because Uncle Ryan gets on him in a hurry.
I like it. All right, so I mentioned Rick Barnes in Tennessee. Next up, a great matchup, and that's Friday. The Vols, of course, are led by SEC Player of the Year, Dalton Knecht. What is the plan for slowing him down? Because he has been a near impossible cover for so many teams this year.
Yeah, Coach Barnes has just done an unbelievable job during his entire tenure at Tennessee. I was I coached against him when I was in the Big 12 at Iowa State, and he was at Texas, and he had a guy by the name of Durant running around that wasn't too bad of a player during those times. But, you know, Rick's done a great job of putting him and Dalton in so many situations where you have to guard so many different actions and really gives him, you know, two options almost every time in a screening activity of what he can do. So it always keeps you guessing. You know, we have to find him in transition and do our best to take away the easy ones because he's going to make some tough shots. He's a big-time shot maker. We'll have to throw some different looks at him. But, you know, you're not going to stop him. You just hope you can contain him enough to, you know, give yourself a chance in the last 4 or 5 minutes of that game.
So, Greg, one last thought. Much has been made of the fact that the Big East only got three teams in, and yet here you are, all three in the Sweet 16. You're 6-0. You went in the 12-4 in the tournament last year. Do you feel like the committee jammed the conference and would an apology or at least an acknowledgement that maybe they got it wrong? Would that help?
Yeah. Now, number one, that's not going to happen.
Right.
You know, Bruce Rasmussen, Bruce Rasmussen, our former athletic director, was on the committee for 5 years, and then Jamie Pollard, a good friend of mine from when I was at Iowa State, was on the committee this year. And I get it. I understand it. It's a very difficult job to start with. I know that watching Bruce do it for 5 years. It's especially difficult when you have that many bid stealers in a 48-hour period that really turns the bracket upside down and puts a lot of really good teams in danger of not making the tournament. Now you have to decide, all right, we get this group of 10 really good teams and only three of them are getting in. How do we do this? And I wish there was a way that coaches knew, what exactly are you being judged on? Because it seems like you defend one team with one group of data, and then you defend another team getting in with an entire different group of data. I wish as coaches there was a way that it was a little bit more transparent so that we understood as we build a schedule, we know what our team's going to like. Should we play a tough schedule? Should we put a soft schedule? What's best for this particular team to position themselves for March? And I'm not sure those questions have been answered, and I hope they will be in the future. But obviously, we were disappointed as a league. We have a group chat with the 11 coaches, and when we only got three teams in, we were hurting for the guys that didn't get in. But those same guys have supported all of us, through each one of our victories in the NCAA tournament.
I get it. Greg McDermott, 14 years now with Creighton, and they've got another great opportunity ahead of them. They've got Tennessee in the Sweet 16 Friday in Detroit. Greg, appreciate you always coming on the program and always showing up like that. Good luck this weekend. It's going to be a great one. Looking forward to it.
I appreciate it, Jim. Thanks much.
Thank you, Coach. Thanks for playing through it. Greg McDermott, that is a damn good coach. That is such a good coach. One of my favorite coaches. Really good.